Thank you very much. It's an absolute honour and a privilege to be here, and for Julia and I. And we just want to thank you for inviting us, actually. It's great to be invited. It's good to be at your Ignition conference. Ready to turn on the key? If you own an HSV, you know what that's all about. And if you've got a Ford, I don't know what you do. I just had to start with something like that. Hey, honestly, it's great to be here. And that was just awesome worship. Thank you, worship team. That was great. I just, honestly, we could just stay there all night, far as I'm concerned. I love to worship. That was good worship. Thank you. Thank you. Love your building. How long have you been in this building?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. Looks like it's brand new to me. You've looked after it very nicely. Very nicely. It's good to keep your building looking good, isn't it? Great offering message tonight. I don't know whether I need to preach after that, actually. It was so good. So, guys, I bring you greetings from Albany. I feel to share my heart with you tonight. I feel to share from my heart. I don't want to share my heart with you. My heart's, it's taken a while to get my heart back into my body and into one piece after my son was killed, actually. So it could be easily shared because I'm sure it's cracked in several places. But no, I'm not going to share my heart with you. I want to share from my heart. So I just, as I was seeking God about a word to bring you guys, what I really feel God's laid on my heart is, why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? And if you're a pastor here tonight, you may have asked yourself that question several times. Julia and I pioneered Albany City Church. We pioneered it. It's actually, Julia told me just when I did answer that 7 years, we've just started our 8th year, actually. And that's very exciting. And we traveled the world as an evangelist for 18 years. And that's a challenge. I don't know whether I recommend that for anybody, actually. I think I was talking to some guys in Aussie the other day, Wayne Alcorn and some of those guys. They were saying that, he thought anyway, that we may be the only people that survived that length of time in evangelism and still have a marriage, which is a miracle. And a lot of guys lost their marriage traveling like that, and I probably don't recommend it, actually. I think it's not a good idea. A prophet from America, some of you may have met him, his name's Mike Berry. Anybody ever met Mike Berry? Yeah, down the back there. And Mike Berry arrived on our doorstep one day. Flew in, came knocking on the door on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, and he said, I've got the word of the Lord for you. And it was, I don't know how accurate he is, but it was certainly a word in season for our lives. And he said, it's time to raise some sons and stop scattering your seed all over the planet and to raise some sons. And so we took that as a word from God that we should plant a church. And so that's been a challenge, but we are very excited about what God's doing, and it's as of today, we are seeing God do some awesome things in the house, it's just great. So I just want to share some of my heart with you on some of that stuff. So it's great to have my wife Julia traveling with me. Julia is an awesome woman of God, and without her, I don't think I would be here, and that is the honest truth. It's great. Behind every great man is an awesome woman, is what they say. Agreeing, ladies? Just trying to get all the ladies on side. If everything else goes wrong, if you've got the ladies on side, you're okay, they reckon. And so Julia, a year ago, in fact, I'm celebrating today because this month, a year ago, I started walking properly, feeling my limbs and what have you. So a year and 4 months ago, I was a quadriplegic. And um, So it's a miracle that I stand before you today. And Julia had to nurse me through all that. She nursed me, and honestly, that's a deal when you can't feel anything from here down. It's a deal, sort of nursing here. And I think she stirred me and fired me up to get going again. And so here I am today, my testimony is that I'm going to share our testimony with you tomorrow morning. Actually, I thought it'd be great if we shared just a little bit about ourselves tomorrow morning. But it's a miracle that I walk today. And God's a great God. He's a miracle-working God. And it's great. At Ignition Conference, I want to ignite something in your spirit. And not that I can ignite it, but I want to bring a word that will cause the Holy Spirit to get alongside you and ignite something that will change your life forever. And that's kind of my heart in coming here. And so be ready to be stirred. Let the Holy Spirit get right into you and let him sit alongside you, nudge you if need be, but stir you to be uncomfortable staying in the realm of mediocre and to stretch you into the realm of whatever he wants to do tomorrow. Okay, I think we need some ignition sometimes to do it. One of the guys in our church drives a, I don't know what it is, it's got like a 454 whatever big V8 thing in it, and it's one of those sprint car things, and it's like they don't sort of start it with a key, they roll start it, and when that thing ignites, it's all go, and it's like hold on to the wheel, it's all go, and we're talking power plus, and I believe that's what God wants to do. I reckon, honestly, you turn on the key, you don't have a starter motor, we just get ready for God to push start you, and then you're away. And I believe some of that's going to happen this weekend. I believe that God wants to do something in our hearts that'll ignite us for the season ahead. I believe we live in a good day. Somebody said to me the other day, Don, it's tough out there, the economy's not looking good, da-da-da-da-da. And you can pretty much believe what you want to believe, I reckon. I just choose to believe the Word of God. And I think that's probably the most reliable source to trust today, is the Word of God. And we've taken some big risks in the last few years. Just over a year ago, 18 months ago, I believe now, we brought a facility like this. And I think we bought that for $6 million. And that's step of faith when you've been going for six years at that stage. And I think we had $130,000 in the bank. Everybody said it can't be done. But I want to tell you, God is bigger than the word can't. And so we took that step of faith and we've managed to secure that building. It's been an absolute, it's a testimony, a miracle. And we're just watching God fill it up now. So that's great news. So it is very good for us to be here. It's just to tell you a little bit about us, is that Julia and I have been married now for you've got to get this right, 34 years. Yes, we celebrated that just a few weeks ago, 4 weeks ago we celebrated that. On March the 9th, we celebrated 34 years on the Sunshine Coast. Yeah, glory to God. And we celebrated that at Mooloolaba on the Sunshine Coast, which is a great place. Incidentally, I am a Kiwi. I've been asked twice today how long you're over from Australia for. I am a Kiwi, all right? And we live here. We live in Auckland. We pastor the church in Auckland. I'd like to pastor one on both sides of the Tasman, actually, and it's a thought that sort of flies around every now and then. But that's where we are at the moment. So we've been married for 34 years. We've got four children. And our eldest son, our second child, our eldest boy, was killed in October. He was killed in a road accident in a driving his car. Don't muck around with your phone while you're driving. It's a good lesson for that. But we've got four children, and all of our children are in the church that we've pioneered in Albany. And that's a miracle, incidentally, because when you've travelled for 18 years, Julie's giving me finger signs here. What does that mean? Six grandchildren. Yes. Yes. Which would be hard for you to believe looking at me. And our eldest grandchild has just celebrated her 11th birthday, actually. And so that's very exciting. And so it's all just exciting, really. God's good. If you've got nothing to be thankful about tonight, check your pulse right now, and that'll give you something to be very excited about. And because they reckon if your heart's beating, you're doing pretty good. In fact, you're probably doing better than most of the world. You know, we're doing pretty good just living in New Zealand. Thank you, Lord. It's a great country to live in. It's a fantastic country. People are freaking out about all sorts of things, but I just reckon it's a great country to live in. And we are loving Albany and what God's doing in our lives there. So there you go. Is that enough of an introduction? Okay, let's stand with me tonight. We're going to pray and we'll go to the Word, and then let's preach a word, because I haven't got all night. And I don't know how you'd be meant to see that clock, actually. Maybe if I put my glasses on, it'll help. Maybe we have got all night. See if that helps. Doesn't help a lot either, actually. But anyway, so while you're standing, I want you to prepare yourself right now for a great weekend. I want you to prepare your hearts. I really believe that God wants to minister to you and stir your heart to fire. There's something about the ignition of God. When you set a man on fire, when you set a woman on fire, when you set a child on fire with the Holy Ghost, there's nothing that can stop them. And I pray that that power, that anointing, that ignition get into your heart. Father, right now as we stand, I pray, Lord, that you would cause my speaking and my words tonight not to be just the words of a man, but you would empower them right now with the anointing of your power. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come right now and fill this place with your anointing. I pray that you would pour out your power from the front of this building to the back of this building, from the left side to the right side. God, we give you this conference right now, and I ask, Holy Spirit, that every single one of us would be touched by your power and leave here totally different to what we came. In Jesus' awesome name, Lord, we give you the glory, we give you the praise. Lord, make your word real to us. Amen. God bless you. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And I'd like to just go there tonight, just very briefly. Philippians chapter 3. Aren't we having great weather in New Zealand? It's nicer weather than Australia right now. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 is a favorite verse of mine. It's Paul writing, and he says this. He says, that I may know him. That's a great statement just in itself. That I may know him, Jesus Christ, and experience the awesome power that raised him from the dead, so that I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead in my own life. And I just want to talk a little bit about that tonight. I want to talk about that I may know him. Why do we do what we do is what I want to title this tonight. Why the hang do we do what we do? Why do we get involved in building churches across this nation? Why do we get involved? Why do we purchase a building like this and stretch ourselves and do all that it takes to make this happen right here in Hamilton? Why do we do the stuff we do for God, and why don't we just live an ordinary old, just an ordinary Christian life, or just an ordinary life? Why do we get involved? Why do we have worshippers that come up here that practice to sing great and lead us right into the presence of God? Why do we have people that no doubt evidently come in and clean this building and keep it looking incredibly good? Why do we bother having people who attend the car park and stand there and greet you when you come into the building? Why do we do all the stuff that we do? Why don't we just chill out a little? And I just want to say this tonight, and I want to read you something that just burns in my heart. The real strength of a man or a woman of God is not in the public arena, it's in the private place where you, and I really believe, where you are challenged to quit at times, but the stirring of the fire of God keeps you motivated and going on. Why do we do what we do? Because you can't quit. It's like Joseph in prison, but he couldn't quit. He kept dreaming, he kept believing, and he walked into the blessing that God had for him. And I believe that probably the greatest thing you could ever do is to serve the living God. The greatest thing you could ever do. So, why do we do what we do? And how can we do it better would be a natural result that would come from that. Of course, how can we do what we do better? How can we make it more effective? How can we do Christianity a whole lot better? Because we're not playing a game. And I believe this is the most deadly and serious business we could ever be involved in. And I want to stir your hearts with that tonight. Couple of things I want to say on that. Number one, what defines you? Because to do what we do, we need to know who we are. And I believe that so many today don't realize who they are. They don't know who they are. They have no understanding of how the grace of God radically set us free and how we can live in this incredible joy of just serving Jesus. And why do we do what we do? Because something happened in our lives that caused us never to be the same again. I was radically changed 27 years ago when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was radically changed. Everything in my life changed. Every perspective, every dream changed, every desire changed, and I was left never the same again. And I want to stir you with that testimony. I want to challenge you on where you are at today. Where you are at today. Just a couple of thoughts that go with that is why you need to know where you are at today is because when we do know where we're at today, we can contribute a whole lot more. If we know where we're at, we can contribute a whole lot more to the world we live in. And I love that little videotape you put on there, that clip, because it's right in line with what I want to share with you tonight. Because I believe God wants us to contribute a whole lot more than what we are right now. I believe we've got to be bigger people. We've got to be more influential. We've got to be more effective. And the second thing is so that we can appreciate people more. And I think, honestly, this is all about how much we appreciate people. And in sharing my heart with you tonight, honestly, I've found that God has given me such a love for the human race, such a love for every single person we come in contact with. And I believe even when I was laying on my bed, a total quadriplegic, that the thing that worked in my life to get me up was that there's too much of a calling on our lives to let stuff rob that from us. And God wants to motivate us to get up, to get going like we've never been going before. So get ready for that ignition to happen in your life and live beyond where you are right now. I believe we need to have a dream to live beyond where we are right now. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says, "Man, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Why is it that people fail and they give up and they quit? I think one of the saddest things in my life is seeing people quit on what God's done in their life or where God's taken them or the great people God's put them with or just the destiny that God stamped in them. It breaks my heart to see people quit and give on the incredible destiny that God's planned for our lives. So there are three decisions that I believe that we are making every moment of our lives, and here they are right here, is number one, what am I going to focus on? And right now you need to make a decision, what are you going to focus on? What are you going to focus on? Because I believe that the reason we do what we do is because of what we're focused on right now. And we need to decide every moment of the day. The second key there is, what does that really mean? Or what does it mean, you know? What does it mean when things go wrong in our life? What does it mean when you get a phone call at 4:30 one day and your son's gone? Are we being punished? Is God mean? Is this, what's all this about? It's like, God, what do we do right now? What do we do with that? And the third thing, what are you going to do or what are you going to give to make sure that you move forward in your life? And I think those are three keys that we need to consistently stir in our lives, because these are the decisions that shape our destiny. These are the decisions that shape our destiny in God. And I believe the reason we do what we do is because God has done so much in our lives that we cannot stay where we are, but God, we want to go a lot further than what we are right now. So Lance Armstrong is an incredible guy, because Lance Armstrong got cancer in the prostate cancer, which spread into all those parts of his body, which is not good if you're a bike rider. And so the interesting thing about Lance Armstrong, he had never won a race before he got cancer. He had never won a race. But after that and since that, something got motivated in his spirit to cause him now that he is now a seven-time winner of the Tour de France. And I want to know what makes people do what they do. What makes us do what we do? What made him suddenly get a drink? He's been given a death sentence in the very sport that he enjoys. It's like that's over with that sort of cancer. But he rises up and he begins to do stuff that was unspeakable and unthought of and even stuff you couldn't dream of. And what is it that about humanity? What is it about what God can put in our heart or has put in our heart that can cause us to be such overcomers and such people of destiny that just refuse to quit and refuse to give up and say, God, I'm in. Keep going. I'm going to rise above this situation, whatever the difficulty or the problem, because I believe we are often defined by our problems, but I don't believe God wants us to be, and we need to be people that get up. What about Rosa Parks, who just refused to go to the back of the bus and changed, not just for her, but I believe that every decision we make changes destiny for a whole generation. And Julia and I pioneered a church 7 years ago, which changed the lives of lots of individuals for eternity. And I believe that every decision we make changes people's lives forever and ever and ever. And why do we do what we do? Because I believe we've got such an incredible calling on our lives, such a destiny on our lives. I think of people like Matt Lansdowne, who was just a tagger and wanted by the police and consistently in trouble with the police for doing all sorts of tagging around the North Shore city and just a guy whose life was really... And a good tagger at that. I mean, a good tagger. So he, you know, I preached a message once, leave a mark and not a stain, and I did it simply on tagging, leave a mark and not a stain in life. And I did it simply because at the end of our street where we live, some guys did some tagging on a brand new wall that the council had just put up, which is what they like to do. And I thought it was an awesome piece of work, actually. And so I told all the guys I'm going to do a message on leave a mark and not a stain about that tag at the end of the street. And the guy who did the tag ended up in church, which is pretty exciting because word gets around. Those guys, they've got incredible word. And, of course, Ross got saved. Matt got saved. And Matt has become a legend in God, just a legend in God. And now out on the streets every week, not tagging, but he's doing a thing now called Treasure Hunt. And he's out there now, instead of tagging walls and looking for things, he is still tagging, incidentally. He gets paid a fortune now to go and do tags for different situations. But now he's out on Treasure Hunt every weekend looking for destiny in the lives of men and women, looking for stuff in the lives of men and women that he can pull out and say, hey, it's very, very exciting. Just one story on that. The other week he went out and they believe God. He takes a group of guys. He's got a whole group now in our church called Treasure Hunters. And they went out and they get a bit of paper out and they write down, you know, this is what God's saying we're going to find on the street tonight. We're going to find this guy. He's wearing a green T-shirt. He's a guy who used to play in number three position and then crossed out number three and put number seven position and used to play that in rugby and some other information about him, and then go down the street and they go looking for him and they say, look, we've got this bit of stuff God gave us about you. Can we just be okay if I shared this with you? I just really feel this is about you tonight, and da-da-da, would this be you? Because you got the green shirt on, so it must be you, and you're playing in number seven. But da-da-da-da-da, and reading on down. And the guy says, who told you that stuff about me? He give me a look at that. And he grabs a bit of paper and he sees where they'd crossed out number three. And he says, how did you know I used to play in that position? And just amazing stuff where he's seeing this destiny in people and pulling it out of them, and the people are getting saved on the street and just remarkable turnarounds happening. And I really believe, honestly, I'll tell you right now, God can change your life and cause it never to be the same again. And some of the things that happen is like Rosa Parks, who said, I'm not going to go to the back of the bus. And you know, the thing is that every decision we make doesn't just affect you, it affects every single person around you. It'll affect your family, it affects the people you live with, it affects people that you get alongside. What else have I got here that just inspire you? But there's a couple of things that I really believe are important in our lives and why we do what we do. And it's invisible things that motivate us. Invisible things that motivate us. For example, one of the things I find that motivates me is surprises. Now, how many here love surprises? How many in the house just love surprises? And when you saw that girl, just watching that, you know, when she got those flowers, it's like, and I don't know how the guy was thinking. If I was the guy, and he looked like he was somehow tied into that, when I come back over that rail and sat down with her, I would have said, you know, it was cool, I organised that guy to bring you those flowers, baby, and da-da-da. And I thought that would have been... But anyway, we love surprises when... But the reality is that when you think about surprises, you see, it was a surprise when we got the phone call about Regan, and some surprises are not great. Some surprises are terrible. And I believe that surprises, depending on what package they come in, can be incredibly and wildly different. But we don't love all surprises. We love variety in our lives. I think variety is the spice of life. It's like God wants us to be people of variety. That's why we have to be bigger than what we really are. And it's like a movie. If you watch a movie, it's like it's not good to watch the movie again, because I find it boring to watch the movie the second time. I like to watch it the first time. And then after that, it's like all the surprise has gone out of it, and you don't sort of get the same energy out of the movie. We have to grow. That's another great key, I believe, is growing in our lives. I have a philosophy that the light switches in our houses are too low. That they're too low, that they don't cause us to stretch enough. My little granddaughter lives with us, and her mother, and they live with us, and so I've watched her grow up, and when she was just a, I don't know how old she was, she might have been 1 year old, but she was reaching up, and she's quite a tall girl, she's a very tall girl, and she could, if I could just get that light switch. And then when she got the light switch, it's like stuff slows down in our lives, you know. Little kids, you know, they say that they're learning like 10 words a day, and it's incredibly exciting watching them learn words. It's like when God created man, I guess man would... I don't know how long it took mankind to speak. When God made Adam, maybe it took 80 years to get him to talk. I don't know. I would imagine maybe it took a while to learn him to talk. I mean, we have children and it takes a long time to get them to talk. Then we wish sometimes that they didn't know how to talk and we're trying to shut them up. But it's like... I just believe stretching is an incredible key in our lives. And we're talking about ignition here tonight, and I believe one of the great things in our lives is to stretch more. Is to just, we need to grow up. We need to grow up in everything we do. And I think if we can focus on growing up and becoming bigger than what we are, and that's why Paul, he never arrived, that I may know him, and I want to know him as more today than I ever did when I got born again. I want to know God more today than I ever did when I first got saved. I'm hungry for God today. I'm thirsty to drink at the river of life. I want more of God in me right now. I need more of God in me right now. And I think sometimes we just think we've arrived. And sometimes we're happy to arrive. My cousin, who plays for the Brisbane Bullets, he was born short. Nigel was a little, he was a scrubber of the family. He was a little guy. And Nigel one day got a dream to play basketball. And today he's the tallest guy in their family, just because he got a dream to reach a lot further. I wonder how hungry we are to reach into the presence of God more than we ever have in our lives before. Because I believe the world needs that. I believe our society needs that today. I believe people need us to be the hungriest people on the planet, that we want to grow more in God, that we want to touch God more, and that we want to be just far more effective in what we do. Another thing is that I believe in, and just like your video clip tonight, is the power of a helping hand. I think we need to help a whole lot more people. And I believe we can do it. I believe we can help a whole lot more people than we're helping right now. We're just ordinary. Honestly, Julia and I are really ordinary people. But I'll tell you, I've learned some incredible lessons. And probably the greatest lesson I ever learned in life is that people are incredibly important to God. People are incredible. When I was at Bible college, and I went to Harvest Bible College in Australia, and we had a principal there. Some of you may have known the man. His name was Scott Wilson. Does anybody know Scott Wilson? Oops, sorry about the carpet. It was challenging, I tell you. Like, I had failed. I was a kindergarten dropout. Like, so I never learned a lot at school or anything. And then we arrived at Bible College. I was 29, I think, at the time, and went to Bible College, which was a huge, huge shift in my entire life. And you had to do exams and stuff like that, which I'd failed pretty much most exams I'd ever done in my life. And so to sit down exams, and the guy'd get up and do the teaching and the lecturing and all that, and we had to do the exam. And I was working just to do Bible College. I had my whole family. We shifted to Melbourne, Australia to do it. And so I was working all night. I'd work all night. Why do we do what we do? I just really want to get that across. Why do we do what we do? I'd work all night. I'd start at 9:30, I'd leave the house and I'd drive right across Melbourne, and then I'd work all night in a bakery called Pride Bakeries, and I'd work there all night, and then at 7:30 the next morning I would finish that shift, and then I would go and I'd arrive at Bible College at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd do Bible College all day. And then I'd go home and do the study and do the assignments, and then I'd jump in my car. I'd have like a 20. I ended up going to see a doctor, actually, because why do we do what we do? And I went to see the doctor, and I said, "Mate, I'm going to die. It's like, this is pretty tough. This is what I'm doing. I'm working all night, and then I'm going to Bible College all day, and I can't keep it up. Can you please give me some drugs? Can I get some uppers off you, or is there something you can give me to help me get through this Bible College?" And he said, "Definitely not." He said, "That'll kill you. It's very bad for your health. Don't you understand?" And he said, "But I'll give you a couple of good hints." He was a man from Malaysia, Malaysian doctor, and he gave me some incredible, great idea. And one of them was to lay on the floor with your feet up against the wall, just flat on the floor with your feet up against the wall. And he said, "It'll slow your heart rate down, and it'll give you the equivalent of like 6 hours rest if you can do that for 20 minutes. And so I thought, great, I've got it. And I did that all the way through my 2 years of Bible College working. You know, here's the amazing thing. This working at the bakery was like, honestly, you didn't have to be that clever. You just, half the time, we were just pushing I started pushing a broom around. This is a funny story, actually, because I started pushing a broom around because you could sleep on the broom. I don't know if you've ever got, and so we'd study all day and we'd arrive at work and you'd be pretty had it, so you'd just sort of wander around with the broom, nobody really looking, so it didn't matter where the broom went, let the broom lead. And so we'd do this, and it was like, there were people at Bible College who had their entire course paid for, they were like living in the lap of luxury, and they're saying, "Don, why the heck are you doing this? Like, it's too hard. It's like the hardest thing you've ever done in your life." And we were doing this, and it was amazing. And I was pushing this darn broom around, and next thing, the whatever he was, the foreman comes to me one day and he says, "Don, we just like the way you push that broom. So we'd like to put you on one of these chains, and we want you looking after the chain." And I said, "Mate, honestly, I'm happy pushing a broom. It's dangerous to sleep when you're working on a chain. You can lose fingers." And he said, no, we want you. We need you on the chain, man, because you're just showing all kinds of motivation." I thought, boy, it's unbelievable. Anyway, I got on that, and next thing, a year later, they came and approached me, and they said, "Listen, in fact, the big cheese, anyway, come and saw me," and he said, "We want to make you the foreman of this Pride Bakery." And I thought, "You've got to be kidding. I don't like the job." I tried to tell him that as nice as I could. I do. I'm not a baker. Like, I've had a building business in my life, and a very successful building business, and I've had all kinds of business situations happening in my life, and now I've thrown all that away just to go to, I just want to study the Word of God, you know? I don't really, want to have anything to do with it. And next thing, they're offering me these huge salary packets to be the boss of this jolly bread making outfit, you know. And in the end, they took me in and they invited me down there one day, and I sat down in the I'm trying to remember what you called him, but anyway, the big boss, and he had quite a very flash office. And I sit down and he says, "Don, I cannot work you out. Like, you're doing this. Are they paying you? What are they paying you to go to this Bible college thing?" And I said, "Well, nothing, actually. I'm paying them so I can go there." And he said, "Why do you do that?" And I ended up sharing with him. I said, "Mate, it's because I had a miracle happen in my life a few years ago where I got radically born again. I became a Christian and God changed every value in my life. And I cannot not do that." I said, "Honestly, I give my whole life to do that. This is like a spare time involvement," I said. "I don't even want to be. I'm doing this just so I can feed my family every week." And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't understand it. And in the end, I walked away from that job and I went in. In fact, my shift work got a little bit shifted because they wanted me to work in the church. Alan Davies, who was the pastor, they wanted me to work in the church, and so I needed extra time. And so I left that and I went and worked for a bakery. Not a bakery, a cabinet making factory, which is more, in fact, I've never built a cabinet in my life either, but I was a builder and I only applied because there was a job in the paper and it was night shift and I thought we can get some short hours and we can make this work. And so I went down. I remember clearly the day when I went down and applied for this cabinet making job. And so I walk in there and so, "Are you a cabinet maker?" "Well, no, not really. I've never made a cabinet in my life, but I'm a builder, so I understand timber and I understand wood." And I'm sitting down with the guy who's the boss of the cabinet making factory, and he says to me, "Nice shirt you're wearing." And we hadn't been in Australia like that long. I didn't know who the teams were, to be honest with you. But he says, "Nice shirt you've got on." And I said, "Thank you very much." He said, "So you support the Tigers, do you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And it was a black shirt with a yellow stripe across it. And apparently that was the Tigers' colours. He said, "That's my team, man. You've got the job." And then the amazing thing is that his name was Julia Peter, can't get the surname right here, but one of those Yugoslavian names, Visic, Peter Visic. And I said, "Oh, my mother's a Yugoslav." And he said, "You've definitely got the job. Can you start today?" And I said, "Yeah, well, okay, let's start tonight." And so I started that job that night, okay, and he said, "You're going to have to be here." And the good things were the hours were later. I had to come in at 11:30 at night. Like, that's like the middle of the night, and which gave me a little bit more time to do my assignments and all that. And I still remember arriving there that night. And I had to, that's right, I had to come in early on the first night because it was my first night and I had to meet the foreman and all this stuff. And I remember walking past, and I walked past Pete's office. And when I'd been in for the interview, like, you wouldn't dare tell him you're a Christian and like you're going to Bible college and this is why you want this thing. And anyway, and I was walking past and I saw him and he was in his office and he was buckled over like this. He was, I'll get up here so you can see. But I saw him buckled over his bench like this, you know. And so naturally, the guy's probably not feeling good. It's sort of, you don't even have to have a word of knowledge. You can just tell he's not feeling good. Anyway, and as I walked past, the Holy Spirit said, "Why don't you go pray for him?" And I thought, you'd have to be kidding, wouldn't you? Like, I'm lucky. I'm not a cabinet maker. I'm wearing the right shirt. I had the right mother. And that's the only way I got this job. I'm not going to go pray for the guy and ruin this whole deal. And so I kept on walking. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "You don't always obey me, do you?" So just before I walked in the door to the cabinet making shop, I turned around and I went back, and hoping he wouldn't be still bent over, but there he was, you know, bent over. So I thought, "Oh well, yeah, okay." And I walked in and I said, "Pete, I never told you today, but I'm actually at Bible college." I think I called it theological college, actually, to sound a little bit theological college. And they've been teaching us down there that, because I said, "Mate, is there a problem?" "That's right." I said, "Is there a problem?" And he said, "Well, actually," he said, "I've got an ulcerated stomach and they've been really causing me some trouble lately. And in fact, I'm really, really not well tonight." And then I said, "You know, I've been at theological college and they've been teaching us down there that if we laid hands on the sick, that they'll recover, they'll get healed." And so I said, thinking the guy's going to say, "Get out of here." I said, "So would you like me to pray for you?" And he said, oh, that'd be fantastic, thank you. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go. And then so I thought I'll get him to sit down. So he sat down and he's sitting down. And so I'm thinking, God, this is never going to work. What are we going to do here? And so I started praying for my laid hands on him. God, you know, I know this is an absolute impossibility that this guy, he's a businessman, he's never going to get healed. But if you possibly could, it'd be great if something could happen. I didn't say it like that. That was in my head. In the words I was saying, God, if you could possibly heal him, please heal him now, man. And it was just a real short prayer like that. And then that was it. I just went straight through the doors, into the factory, reported to the foreman and started work that night. Never ever, didn't ask him, you know, oh, you're feeling healed, man, how's it feeling? Show us, show the whole church, you know, show us how good you are. I never did any of that. I just was real keen to get out of there before I got the sack, before I started. And the amazing thing is that I worked there for about four nights. And on the fourth night, I'm just getting to know this place. You know, they've all got, like, all their girlfriends were all over the wall. It was one of those sort of factories, you know. It was like that, and you just kept your head down and kept working. About the fourth night, next thing, Pete was a big man. I see the door swing open, and there's Pete standing at the door, you know. And even at Bible college, they're saying to me, Don, why do you do this? You know, it's crazy. You're working all night. You're working at the church now. You're doing all this stuff. Why do you do it? I said, because I am so passionate about this stuff, you wouldn't believe how motivated I am to give my life for the cause of the gospel. So Pete, the door swings open, boom, and there he is, Pete. And there's only four of us working the night shift, but he says, hold it! We've got a priest working for us. And so every single one of us, including me, I wonder where he is. Then I realized he could be talking about me. Then he says how that this guy, Don, who's working for us now, he prayed for me. He's a man of God. And I've been totally, my ulcerated stomach's gone. My body's okay now. I'm all better. And then he says, so I want you all to get your girlfriends off the wall. Get those pictures down. And right now I'm bright red because I'm thinking, oh no, they're going to think that I told him to get the pictures down, you know. But we had a revival in that place, and Pete and his whole family, and you've got to realize that I'm a Croat and he's a Serb. And so it wasn't sort of conducive to revival, but we ended up at their place and Pete and his whole family get born again. His wife came in a few days later. This is how that happened. His wife came in and she said, what have you done to my husband? What have you done to my husband? I've got a brand new husband. And I said, well, I don't know. Whatever. And she said, he's just behaving differently. His anger's gone. He's a totally different man. And the power of God had touched him even before. Why do we do what we do? Because the love of Christ constrains us to be more than what we could ever be. And I think of the Good Samaritan. I just wanted to try to give you a few points here tonight. You know, the Good Samaritan, because I just want to just take these down. Compassion is far more than observation. You know, we're good at observing things, but I don't think we're that great. And the Levite and the priest show us that it's got to be more than just an observation. We've got to somehow get involved. The second thing is that we've got to live beyond our world. And to do that, we've got to live far bigger than what we are right now. And I believe some of us have too much of a small world. Why do we do what we do? Because our world becomes bigger. And when your world becomes bigger, there's nothing can stop you to be passionate about how much further you can actually go. The third thing is that you cannot help people until you actually do reach down to where they are. And I believe it's a challenge for us to reach down and be in spirit where people are at. We don't do what they do, but we're able to reach down, communicate with them on their level and be where they are to make a difference in their life. The fourth thing is, it's not what you say, it's what you do. And we say a whole lot of stuff in Christianity. Like, we're always talking. But you know, I believe it's resource, not words. It's what we resource, it's not what we talk about. And I believe God wants us just to resource a whole. You know, the amazing thing is when you think of the Good Samaritan, he never said one word. Never said one word, but this guy, his life is never the same again. And I believe if you think about it, the defining moments in history are usually done, not talked about. You know, Rosa Parks, it was done, not talked about. The defining moments in our history, in the church history, are done, not talked about. They're done. You know, people like, I'm trying to think of his name right now, William Seymour. William Seymour started a revival. It was done, not talked about. In LA, when he started a revival with the Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit and whatever. And the fifth thing is connection. We need to be connected. See, this guy was connected. He was so connected that he went to the innkeeper and he said, look, put it on credit. This is all I've got right now, but put it on credit, whatever there will be to pay. People don't give you credit like that, just out of the blue. He had no doubt he had a connection there. And we need to be far more connected than what we are in all different realms of society. And I believe that God wants to stretch us and make us bigger so that we stretch into every realm of the society we live in, so that we become people of influence, power, and we just grow bigger and be more effective in Jesus' name. And that's only the 5 points. I mean, a hand's only got five fingers, so that's all the points you really need on that. And so I'm just going to close tonight with just a couple of thoughts there. And here it is. Do you remember your first encounter with God? And I want to ask that question here tonight, because the most significant thing that makes me do what I do today is my first initial encounter with God. I will never, ever, ever, ever forget the night I got born again. It happened at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. It radically changed my entire perception of life. I became that night a brand new person. The next day, my first day, I went back to my own, I had people working for me, like my own job the next day, and led my, and the good news was I could operate in a word of knowledge. Went to work the next day, I said, you guys are growing dope, you guys are smoking dope, you guys are doing this, that, and the next thing. And, you know, you had sharp words of knowledge because you knew the day before what they were doing, because you were doing it with them the day before. And I said, you're all going to hell and you need to get saved, which is pretty simple really. And my best friend got born again that day. In fact, he arrived at my place that night and he said, Don, I don't know what it is what you're talking about today, but I went out surfing tonight. When I was out on the surfboard, Jesus came to me on my surfboard. Now, I don't know what he'd been smoking. I don't think it makes any difference, actually. But I'll tell you what, I do believe that Jesus appeared to him on that board. And I'll tell you what, well, he was there. And of course, the Bible talks about it, Jesus on the water all the time. And Jesus appeared right to him right there. He got born again and today is involved in the ministry. Never, ever forget your first encounter with God. And honestly, I've got a whole lot of stuff I could say about that. Honestly, when I encountered the love of God, it was a radical, radical shift. Julia and I, that night we got born again, we both gave our lives to Christ together, got baptized in the Holy Spirit 1 month later, never ever the same again. Never ever the same again. It's a great key point in your life. And the final thing that I want to close with tonight is it's all about showing the love of God. It's all about showing the love of God. And Isaiah 61 talks about, arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine. And I kind of believe that sometimes we need to let God's light shine through us a whole lot more so that we can reflect a whole lot more of God's glory. You know, I don't, and I say this, totally believing it tonight. I may bring some words to you at this conference, but I'll tell you this, it's better caught than it is taught. Why do I say that? Because I believe we reflect stuff off our spirit, the love of God. I want more of that in my life and less of me. I want more of the love of God to be reflected. And honestly, I believe that if we can let God shine in us to a greater degree and let it shine out of us to a powerful, awesome way, we can affect this nation like never before. Let's never rely on what's happened in the past. In fact, I'm over stuff that happened in the past. You know, in the past, we've sent out people like Phil Pringle. We've sent out people like Brian Houston out of this nation. But I believe there is legacy right now in this nation that we need to be looking for like never before. And what it's about how close we can get to Jesus. It's how close we can get. David said, I want more of you. You're all I need. Everything else can fade away, but God, I want more. How do I get closer to this? How do I get more of you, God? When I first got born again, I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. I couldn't get enough. I'd arrive at every single meeting you could have. Julia and I were at every meeting. We had three kids then, two kids, two children. And we were at every meeting you could get. Why were we there? Because I was so passionate about this Jesus I'd met. Then somebody talked about the anointing and the anointing of the Holy Ghost come on. And when I got the anointing of the Holy Ghost come on me, it stirred me to want to serve this Jesus a whole lot more. And so we were in church one day and they said, could somebody come and set out the chairs every day? And honestly, it wasn't a big church, it was just a little church. And so it was, I just put up my hand. I said, first of all, I think I said to Julia, we could do that. And up went her hand. Then they said, we need another musician. And, you know, I was so passionate. Why did I do that? Because I'd fallen in love with Jesus Christ. And when I fell in love with him, I wanted to serve him. You know, why do we have people that come out and practice and get ready for music? Why do we have people that get this building? Why do we have people that do the sound guys down there never get any thanks for what they do? The only time you ever know they're there is when they make a mistake and they stuff up, and then it's those sound guys that are the problem. And why do they do that? Why do they come down here and get it all set up? Why do we do what we do? It's because we're madly, passionately in love with the God that we serve. And I put up my hand. I said, we can set out the chairs, baby. We'd arrive at that church. I remember still, we had a business. We were at 6 o'clock. We'd be down there setting out chairs. We did it for 8 years. Why did we do that? Because I was passionately in love with this guy. I stood up in front of the church one day. They said, you know, anybody here feel a call of God in their life? And, you know, we like, man, the presence of God was there. I just felt the anointing come on my. I jumped out of my seat, grabbed Julia. We stood there. Oh, God, please use me, use me, use me, use me, use me in whatever way you can. And then after sitting out the chairs for about 4 years, I said to Julia one day, I think this church is using us. We've been sitting out these chairs for 4 years. How come we're not preaching? How come we? And honestly, we were doing other stuff. It wasn't like wasn't really like that. They asked someone to play a guitar, and I used to play at every party I went to. So we played the guitar. We were on the music. I ended up leading the creative thing and all of the stuff, simply because I could not get close enough to the God that had saved my life. I want more. Now, I want to close right there. I want to close. There's a whole lot more I could talk about on that. Honestly, it's just serving God. When you love someone, you want to serve them. When you love someone with all your heart, you want to serve them. And then after you've served them for a while, you just want to get closer. You want to become more intimate with them. You want to just get closer to them. And you want more of God. And after you've served him for a time, God, what can I do? David said, God, I will not sacrifice with that which costs me nothing. He said, man, I've given everything. I've given all my life. But what can I give now? What can I do now that would God just, I want more. I want to be closer. And I believe, and I want to close with this tonight. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. I just honestly believe with all my heart the greatest thing that can happen here tonight is for us to remember our first love. We talk about ignition. You know, Jesus spoke to John and addressing the seven churches. Now I have this against you, you've left your first love. The greatest thing that'll keep you fired up, ignited, and ready to go for God and do anything for him is your first love. Julia and I have been through absolute tragedy in the last year. I'll be honest with you, tragedy. Stuff that when I had that accident and ended up drowning on Mirawai Beach, God sent an angel to pull me out of the water. It was I'd never known fear in my entire life until that day. Then I would weep myself to sleep in that bed in hospital, not being able to feel one thing from my neck down. And Julia would come and sit beside me and she'd hold my hand, which I couldn't even feel her holding it, so I don't know why she was holding it. But she'd start reading the Word of God to me. And you know the reality she'd start talking about. On the day that we got born again and Jesus came into our life, and when he came into our lives, next thing, just a few nights later, we invited him to our family. We said, we want you in our home, Jesus. We opened up our home. I remember it was seemed so simple at that time, but we went and prayed over our whole house and said, Jesus, we want you living in this room. We want you living in that room. We want you all over our house. We give it all to you. And something radically changed in our home, in our lifestyle, in our children's lives. When she reminded me of all that stuff, when I was laying there like that, passion began to stir within my heart. God, this is just, it's almost too good to be true. It's just too good to leave laying down. God, I've got to get up again. Why do we do what we do? Because we are motivated by the passionate love of Jesus Christ. I want to release something into your life tonight. That can carry you through any storm. That can cause you never to be disillusioned, cause you not to quit or give up. And I feel there's people here tonight that are going through just a time of difficulty. In fact, you found it difficult to be at this meeting. It was a difficult time in a different season. I want to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is here tonight to encourage you to just go back and ignite yourself afresh with your first love. God, that's why I do it. It's not about the job. You know, we can get so tied up in the effort and the job. Even you can be in a leadership position in this church, and you can be serving in an area. And if it ever comes down to the serving, and oh boy, I better turn up for the serving. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. We become like Mary and Martha. And if it's not first of all about, God, I'm so in love with you, it energizes you to serve in any area that's offered to you. In any area that's expected of you. And the church is all about, God, I don't just want to be there. I want to serve you, God. I don't want to just come and just hang out. I want to be a part of what you're doing because I'm so in love with you. Holy Spirit, right now, in your presence tonight, God, I pray right now that you release miracles in people's lives. Miracles, miracles. It's about his presence. It's about his love. It's about that, God, I am so passionately in love with your son, Jesus Christ. So passionately in love. It'll give me strength in the darkest hour of my life, God. That's the thing that'll carry me through on that day. God, when everything else is so difficult, God, it feels like I can never move again. But God, I know that right now, you've got a plan for my life. You've already stamped it. And God, I want to offer myself afresh. Here's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to ask right across this place. And I don't know that it's about specific people. I just feel this is for a whole lot of people. For God just to refresh that first love is the reason we do anything for Jesus Christ. Because it's not about a task. It's not about being driven. It's all about, I'm so in love with Jesus Christ that it's a privilege, an honor, and a pleasure just to be involved in your kingdom. And I just believe God wants to do something fresh in your life. So I'm just going to open the altar tonight. That's all I'm going to do here tonight. I'm going to open the altar right now. And if you're here and you feel God stirring your heart in that area, in fact, I do feel it's bigger than that. And I just feel it's like the Holy Spirit's been saying to me, I want to release this into a whole lot of people at this conference. So I'm just going to ask you right now, if that doesn't work for you tonight, that's okay. But honestly, I feel God wants to touch people with the first love and release that. Why do you do what you do? Because I'm so in love with you, Jesus. It's going to motivate people. It's going to light a spark. It's going to trigger something in your life. And I'm going to ask you right now just to come and stand on this altar. If it has any influence on your life at all, that thought tonight, why don't you come right now? I'm just going to wait for you to come. I just want you to come stand before the Lord. I just believe God's going to do stuff that's way beyond where you are right now. Way bigger than where you are right now. Holy Spirit, I give you authority right now. Because I know that this is what you told me to talk about. Now, Holy Spirit, I just release you right now to start moving by your power in this auditorium. I feel freshness and newness coming on people right now. I feel freshness and new. I feel God doing stuff right now where God would even speak to your spirit and say, get ready for a new day. Get ready for a new day in your life. Get ready for an energy of the Spirit to come upon you. I don't know. I'm feeling right now that there's people here who have become weary in the tedious effort of serving, in the tedious effort of just saying, God, I want to do it for you, but my energy level is low. There's a level of passion about to be ignited in your life that you're going to be so motivated. This is nothing, I tell you right now, there's not a word preached that can do that for you. There's not a message someone can bring that'll do it. But I tell you right now, the Holy Spirit can do that in your life. I know that from experience. The Holy Spirit can do that in your life. That it'll motivate you to dream afresh. Somebody here who your dream power has faded. It's Joseph in the prison, but where the dream's gone, I can't see the dream anymore. But Joseph held on to the dream, and somebody here, it's begun to slip out of your fingers, and God says, I'm about to refresh the dream in your life. In fact, it's in your spirit. Holy Spirit, right now, just lift your hands right across this altar. Just lift your hands. Let the Holy Spirit just begin to pour it into you. This young couple standing here, right here in front of me right now. You know, the Holy Spirit just says, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I brought you with a price. Place my hand upon you. And I'll tell you right now, the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the fact that you even stand here tonight, God said, my hand's not short. My miracle power is available to you. I brought you this far by my awesome grace. And God says, get ready, because there's a new level comes on you right now, right now, right now. A new level. It's a level you've never been at before. But God says, get ready. Holy Spirit, right now. Lord, I release that anointing. Oh God, I pray, let your power be out. Constrained by the love of God. It's the love of God that constrains us. It's not an organization, it's not a place, it's the love of God that constrains. Spirit of God, breathe afresh right now. By the might of God. By the might of God, God says, I want you to begin to see that new level. God says, I'm putting you on it. Spirit of God, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. That's what God just said to you right there. He just said, not by might, nor by power, but by, it was by my spirit. It was by my mercy. It was by my grace. When I ignited that fire within your spirit, when I birthed it into your spirit, and God says, even now, I breathe afresh upon you this night. God says there are people right now, that are dry. Their land is parched and crack, and God says, I'm going to cause you to become a living river that would flow in their lives afresh today. And God says, I'm doing it again right now. I'm doing it again. Holy Ghost, I give you praise right now. Oh boy, touch of God just went right through you, right through you, right through you. God, breathe on him afresh tonight and let a miracle. I see a spring bubbling up. It's like, I'll tell you what, you don't even have to dig down, but it's like a spring bubbling up. And when you step out in, God says there's a freshness that's going to spring up. It's going to spring up from within. And God says, I am your God. I am the God who makes things that seem as if they don't exist to exist. God, I declare that word right now. Let it come upon him in Jesus' name. God just did that miracle right there. God says, I just did it. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Yeah, I tell you what, you're going to know the peace of God in such a fresh way tonight, right there. On your mind, on your spirit, you're going to know the peace of God, and it's going to give you the motivation that you need. It's going to come out of your spirit, because you're not going to try and work it out. You're not going to try to reason it. But God says, no more reason. God says, you're going to walk in faith. And there's a whole level of faith came on you, even as you got out of your chair and stepped up here tonight. In fact, right now, God says, begin to see what I will do as you trust me in Jesus' name. Father, Holy Spirit, right now. Just can I just have your hand? Just step out of here right now. Lift your hands to the Lord right there. God just touched you physically tonight. I'll tell you right now. Holy Spirit just touched you physically right there. Holy Spirit. Just as I pray for you tonight, I see a ladder come right down in front of you. Angels ascending and descending right there. And I see you at a place. It's at a place. It's at an altar. It's at an altar where you say, God, I want you. I need you. I'm hungry. And God says right now, angels ascending and descending right there in your spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, right across here right now. This couple here, are you together here tonight? Come on, just come out of here right now. Lift your hands up. I believe that the Holy Spirit just breathes freshness on you tonight. And that whole declaration of your walk with God, the freshness of it, the memory of it, the first encounter. God, there it goes. Now. Breathe on them, God. Breathe on them. The Spirit of God breathes on you tonight. The power of the Holy Ghost right through you. Jesus' name, this young lady right here, just lift your hands to him right now. God says, I've been right here with you, and I walked out here with you. Holy Spirit, I'm walking along here tonight. It's like the Holy Spirit's just saying, I want you to, just touch her right there. Spirit of God, right now. Holy Spirit, do. Here's what he says, I'm going to complete what I started. I don't know what that relates to in your life, but he says, I'm going to complete what I started. Now just, Holy Spirit, fill her. And he says, I don't fill from the bottom up, I fill from the top down. That's how he works. He comes from the top down. He always gets in our mind and in our head. He deals with the head. He releases faith right there. Holy Spirit, now. Just take it. God says you're going to go into deeper water, and you're going to trust him in that deeper water. A lot of people, they're scared to go deeper, but God says as you go deeper. Faith's on you tonight, brother. Faith, right there.
faith. Have you got a wife here tonight? Is this both of you? God, something got ignited in your spirit tonight. And I'll tell you, all it is, it's honestly, it's going to be a deeper love for the things of God. That's all it's going to be. It's real simple. But God says, it's not difficult. It's all about the love of God. For God so loved that he gave. And I'll tell you what, the stuff that's going to begin to bubble out of you, love's going to draw stuff out of you. Generosity's about to come out of you. Stuff's about to get out of you that'll energize you. And not just you, but people around you are going to start to get energized. Stuff you've been believing for and praying for is about to be triggered. It's about to be ignited. In fact, oh God, I thank you right now. Souls. I'll tell you, it's going to release souls. There's been a barrier. It's been something you've been, God, we've done all this. God, we've pressed through. God, we've been obedient. And God, we want results. And God says, right now, just give it to me. There it goes. Holy Ghost, I release souls in the camp. I release it. Spirit of God. Look at this young lady right out here. Come out here. Lift your hands up right where you are. Holy Spirit, right now. Dreams just got refreshed right there in your life tonight. Dreams got refreshed in your life. Things that had been subtracted, things that had been pulled away. God says, I'm going to refresh the dream that I put in your heart. Holy Spirit, now. Mighty woman of God. God just says, mighty woman of God. You're a mighty woman of God. It's like I see a woman who refuses to let it go by, who says, God, I'm standing in the gap. I'm standing in the gap because I believe that you did it for my time and for this hour and for this generation. Holy Spirit, now, God, do it again. Right there. Holy Spirit, let that happen in her life. Jesus' name. Man alive, I tell you what. Freshness of God's just... Margaret, the freshness of God is all over you tonight. God just says, get ready. In fact, even this ignition, I know what it is to put on something like this. It's like a lot of work. It's like a lot of effort. But God says, nothing is done without me seeing it. And I'll tell you right now, God says, get ready. I'm about to do things that you wouldn't dream of as associated with this. Holy Ghost, now. This couple right here, just lift your hands right where you are, just real quick. Spirit of God. You're a good man. I'll tell you right now, the Holy Ghost just touched your heart right there tonight. Take it right there. God says, I'm going to do stuff that you only thought of. I'm going to do stuff that you only figured. You didn't think it could be for you, but it would have to be somebody else. But God says it's for you right now. This is your wife, I take it. That freshness of God, that I tell you, that love of God is about to overflow out of your life. Stuff around you getting influenced. People around you getting influenced. Stuff that you didn't even consider could be influenced by you. God says, I'm going to make you a bigger person than what you've been. I'm going to cause these hands here, these five fingers on each hand right now, to reach out beyond your own capacity and beyond your own ability even. But God says, it'll be by my anointing. God, let it go right now in Jesus' name. Somebody just say, thank you, God, right across here. Just thank you, God. Whoo, this sister right here, I tell you. Man. God said, you will see it. You will see it. You'll see it with your own eyes. You will see it. You'll see those things which have been proclaimed, prophesied, and destined into being over your life. God, do it right now. Do it right now. Do it right now. And there's an energy that rises within you that releases that into your spirit in Jesus' name.
Somebody stand in this place right now. There's somebody, I have no idea who you are, but I just really believe tonight. It's like there's been a cloud over your life, even like darkness. And God says, I'm about to cause a cloud break over your life. It's going to turn into rain, which is going to water the seed that is within your spirit and cause life to come out. Who is that right now? Somebody, and you're not up the front here. It's somebody, is that you? Come up here, man. Come up here. I want to lay hands on you tonight. In fact, as you're walking up there, God says, there's a cloud break about to happen on your life that's going to water seeds that are within. Seeds that are, it's like they may be ungerminated, they may be dormant, but God says, I'm going to cause rain to fall upon the seeds of your life and release a harvest in Jesus' name. Now get ready for it. Just lift your hands, because the cloud's about to break over your life right here. It's going to happen tonight in this place right now. Spirit of God, there. Holy Ghost, now let the Spirit of God, let a rain from heaven fall on his life right now. And I see multiplication. I don't see it just happening in one area, but I see multiplication in many areas of your life. And I see God releasing that by his power tonight. Holy Ghost. Everybody on this altar, lift your hands right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the anointing that releases hope. That releases hope. 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 Hope flowing through you right now. Hope. Just lift that hand a little higher. Stretch it up, because God says hope's going to come right there. Hope's going to. Because some of you have been involved in situations that appear to be without hope. And you say, God, how could this possibly work? But God says, I'm going to release hope into the situation that you're in right now. And I'm going to open up heaven over it. I'm going to open up my victory over it. In Jesus' name, just on your life right there tonight. God says it just happened right there. It happened right there. As you called out to God tonight, it happened right there in your spirit in Jesus' name. Cool. Take it right there, brother. Take it right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. This dear brother and sister here, just take that right now, the Spirit of God. Man. God's doing a painting. That couple I just prayed for, I'll tell you right now, every brush stroke is incredibly significant to what God will finish with. Every brush stroke, every part, even the canvas that he's painting it on, every color he uses. We don't understand the colors. Sometimes we can't understand what that brush stroke was all about, but God says, you're going to understand now. Anointing of the Holy Ghost. Anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, you got your hand stretched up, sister. Just take one step forward over here. Turn right around right now, right where you are, and look at me again. Right around. That's it. Go one more time around. And one more time. One more time. Now, close your eyes. Lift your hands to the Lord. God says it's turnaround time. Turnaround time. Turn. No, no, you don't have to turn now. God says you've already turned. What you did in the natural, God says, I'm going to do in the spirit realm right now. It's a turnaround. There's a turnaround happening in your life right now as you stand right here. And God says, I'm turning the circumstance. I'm going to turn the tables on that situation. And God, faith went right through you right there. Faith broke out in your spirit tonight. And God says, I've broken shackles and I've released the power of my love all over your life tonight. God says, you'll never be the same again. You'll never walk the same again. You'll never speak the same again. Because God says, this is the night of miracles now. Breathe on her, Holy Spirit. Cool. Shabba-ba-ba-ba. A miracle just happened too. God just touched you with healing power right there. This dear lady right here, you've been standing there. Holy Spirit. Oh boy. I just see a secret agent. God says you're a secret agent behind enemy lines, working miracles behind enemy lines. God says, I'm unlocking doors. I'll put keys in your hands that are going to unlock all kinds of different doors. People will wonder how those doors ever got unlocked. But God says, I'm going to move by my power. Now, Lord, release it, release it, release it, release the power, release the anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.